Hallelujah.
Put your hands together for the Lord this morning. Why, when encounter, are you on a fast or something? Why, those here, are you on a fast or something? Just in case you are fasting and I am not aware. Hallelujah. If that hand clap was for your crush, give a better one unto Jesus. Please take your seat. The way you are looking surprised to see me here, even me myself, I'm surprised to see myself standing here. Hallelujah. Amen. It was not part of my plans. Hallelujah. At all. Amen. Well, our bishop, our pastor, she is actually around. Yeah, she's actually in the office. She was with us for the first service, but unfortunately, she had to get off her feet. So it's not like, oh, she's on a holiday. She's actually around. So she sent me here to deliver the message on her behalf. That's why I'm surprised that I'm standing here. Amen. So don't worry. She had to get off her feet before it becomes a major problem. So that's why. So she says, I should tell you that she loves you very much. And she would really have wanted to be here to preach the message herself. But something, because. Turn to your neighbor and say, my neighbor, something, because. Hallelujah. But I believe it. So after service, she's around. You can see her in the office. Amen. Well, how many of you are aware that today is Palm Sunday? How many of you actually forgot that today was actually Palm Sunday? Let me see. Me, I forgot. Yeah. Let me see. How many of you forgot? Hey, you are in church. So tell the truth and shame the devil. How many of you forgot? Yeah. And you see, I am yet to meet somebody who forgot about Christmas. Yes. Usually, I have never seen it happen before. Yeah. Nobody has woken up in December and has forgotten that, oh, we have entered the season for Christmas. And you see, many of us, something is funny about, it's like I'm shouting like I'm at KJT Market. Please do something. Uh-huh. You see, usually, many believers are more interested in Christmas than in Easter. And the reason is that, okay, is there anybody here who bought a new dress for the Easter season? Let me see here. Oh, I mean, many of us, we are looking for our old black dress or our old red dress. And it's like we may not even bother to iron it properly. And then we will wear it and come for Good Friday service. And there are many of you here who don't even plan to come for the Good Friday service. But the same you will never miss the Christmas service. And usually you will have bought a new dress. And there will be all kinds of parties, all kinds of, you know, cooking. People will have cooked fufu and omutu and abenkwine. We celebrate Christmas more than we celebrate. In fact, we don't even celebrate Easter. But what you need to understand is that the death of Jesus is far more important than his birth. Because you see, you've never thought about the fact that even though Jesus was born, but he could actually have changed his mind last minute and decided not to die on the cross. And that would have been the end of the story. Many of you have made promises, and then you get to a point where you realize that you cannot, and then you change your mind. Many people come to school and they get tired and they get to a point where they're like, I brought myself to school. And I say, I am tired of the school. I am not going to do the school again. Or you promised the girl that you were going to die and be buried together with the girl. And then you, halfway into the relationship, you don't even get to have. and then you get tired, and then you change your mind. So Jesus could also have, remember, he came in the form of a man. So he could feel pain. He could feel all the emotions that you and I feel. So he could actually have gotten to a point where he would realize that, Charlie, this death on the cross, I cannot. And if you know your scripture very well, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, at a point he said, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. If it is possible, the scripture should be, if it is possible, because he knew that it was not going to be easy for him to die on the cross. He knew he was going to die as a human being. So it means that as they were driving the nails into his palm, he was going to feel the pain, just like you will also feel the pain. Many of you, one cooking that you tried and a knife cut you, since then you have sworn that you will never cook again. Small cuts from a knife. But he knew. Where is the scripture? But he knew that they were going to drive nails. But let this, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he actually got to a point where he realized that if he had his way, he would have avoided the death on the cross. But thank God that Jesus is not like you and I. So he added another part. It's like, but Lord, let it not be what I want. Let your will be done. So you need to understand that without Easter, you and I will not have been here today. So he could easily have been born, but he could have changed his mind somewhere along the line. But he is not like you and I. So he did not change his mind. And that is why he went through this season. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for you and I. So that because of that sacrifice, you and I will receive salvation. Hallelujah. And you see, many of us do not understand the importance of our salvation. We do not understand the value of our salvation. That is why we live our lives anyhow. And you see, usually, when you see something something miraculous happening, you will come here and you will tap with your phone. If somebody should come here and testify about how she received dollars, you won't even let the person. When you hear the door, you will come here and you will put your phone on the person. Yeah, I tap. When you hear the person testifying about how she received the miracle of what? A car or a scholarship or something, you will actually tap. You are tapping for a scholarship. Meanwhile, you don't even go to school. How will you get a scholarship when you don't go for lectures? And you spend Monday to Friday in your hostel? It doesn't happen. But nobody has ever come here. When people come here and they are giving their lives to Christ, nobody has ever gotten up from the congregation to come and tap the salvation that the people are receiving. Because it's like, oh, this thing there, we've seen it. Oh, this is the last part of the service. We do not understand the importance of our salvation. And many of us are interested in all kinds of miracles. Miracles are nice. What is your favorite miracle in the Bible? Turning, hey, you like wine, Papa? Turning water into wine. What again? What? Feeding of the 5,000. What again? Lazarus being raised from the dead. Any other miracle you like in the Bible? Walking on water. What? Blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight. Yeah. Me, the one I like is the pattern of the Red Sea, because I know that I wouldn't have walked through the dry land. No, it's not possible. Yes, water, a wall of water on this side, a wall of water on another. What's the guarantee that the water will not? As you are in the middle, no, what is the guarantee? Yeah, what's the guarantee? You see, I would have said, God, thank you for deliverance, but please allow me to stay in Egypt. Because it's like, you cannot be sure. You see, yeah. Let me be here. Do you see? And even in our time, many of you have experienced all kinds of miracles. Many of you have experienced miracles of healing. Or maybe you may not have experienced it directly, but you know somebody who received a very supernatural miracle, a very powerful miracle. And usually when we are experiencing such a thing, or when we are in a place where others are experiencing different miracles, we are so amazed. And then we begin to tap. Sometimes you'll be sitting in the congregation and you will be eyeing God and you're like, God, my problem is even bigger than this one's problem. And I am even more in church than this person. How come this is the one who is... Tell me you have not thought this before. Am I the only bad person in the church? Tell me you've not thought... Yeah. Yes. Somebody came to give a testimony about how, like, she's not been paying her tithe. Then she made a decision to be faithful in her tithe, and then she got some wild miracle. As I was sitting there, I was eyeing God. I said, God, I've been paying tithe since 1999. I have never missed. I don't have one pot of sea. No, it cannot be. Yeah. So you see, when somebody is experiencing a miracle, it's very, very nice. But you see, this morning, you need to understand that if you are here and you are born again, you have received the greatest of all miracles. The reason why you are not clapping is the reason why I'm standing here to preach the message. Because you do not understand. You see, usually when we are making the altar call, we say that, if you are here and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't know where you will spend eternity, and you want to give your life to Christ, come. And then people will come. It's like there's nothing about it. There's nothing wild about it. There is nothing mysterious about it. But you need to understand that the miracle of salvation is far more powerful than the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. The miracle of your salvation is far more powerful than the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Why is that so? It's because salvation is a combination of many fantastic experiences. The reason why salvation is the most powerful is because Jesus paid for you with his precious blood. With his precious blood. Many of you have been members of this church for years. If we ask you to just give up your finger, allow us to bring a knife and cut off your little finger, I promise you, you order bolts right now and exit. Yeah. You will not. Just your finger. Without this little finger, you can still live. Or, yeah. You can live. You can still eat. Yeah. You can even hide it. People will have to look closely to be able to tell that you don't have. But yet, you will not give it up. Even for the church that you say you are a part of. And yet, Jesus looked at you and I. Sinners like you and I. And he decided that he was going to pay for our salvation with his blood. And remember that he was without sin. And he knew that even after paying for you with his precious blood, you would disappoint him over and over and over and over and over. And yet he was willing to do that. Hello? Yeah. Many of you are here because of different reasons. Jesus is not even the reason why you are in church this morning. Yeah. You are in church because your crush is in this church. Yeah. Tell me I'm lying. Yes. Yes. You are in church so that as the dancing stars are dancing, then you will be watching their bombs and their boobs. Jesus is the last reason why you are in church. You know your mind is, yeah. Or you are even in church because your friends are here. So you are here for the fellowship, not because of the price that Jesus paid for your salvation. That's not the reason. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Or maybe you are here because you've heard that, oh, the people in this shed, the workers are nice. So when you are hot and you ask them, they will just dash you money. Tell me I'm lying. Yes. But you need to understand that the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. And many of you are in this shed this morning or this afternoon, and you have a long list of things that you are expecting God to do for you. But the reason why you are not experiencing any of those miracles is because you have not even valued the greatest miracle that he has given you. If I give you 1,000 Ghana and you, if I give you what? $10,000 and you do not value it, do you think I will give you anything more? I will not give you. So until you get to a point where you will understand the miracle of salvation and you will actually value it, if you value your salvation, your life will be different. You don't value it because you think that, oh, my sin, nah, it wasn't that big. Yeah. Your sin was not that big. Minimally bad. Oh, it's just some small lies. Small. Do you know that by God's standard, liars and murderers and witches are in the same bucket? Yeah. Oh, why didn't you come to church? And when I woke up that morning, I was shivering and my head was aching. Meanwhile, you know that you are lying. Yes. You are lying. And Jesus has saved you, and you cannot value your salvation because as far as you are concerned, your sin of lying was not any major sin. How is that possible? Please find. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Hello. Okay, if you are lying, you and what's the name of that famous fetish priest in Ghana? No, Kweku Bonsam. It means that if you have been telling lies in this church, you and Kweku Bonsam, and look at it, look at it. Ah. Is he not? Look at it. Hey. Please look at the word, though. Before you say, I have come to insult, look at it. Please shine your eyes and look at it. Ooh. Look at it. Hey. Can you see the scripture? Oh, I'm the only one who can see it. Yeah. Oh, why didn't you come? Oh, and I was cramping, and it was really, really wild. Meanwhile, it was just some small pain for a second. Small pain. Oh, the way you are looking at me, let's share the grace and go on. And all liars. And when you understand that, in spite of that, Jesus looked at you and he said, oh, I know that she will keep on doing it. She will lie and she will lie, but yet I paid for her with my precious blood. When you understand how sinful you are, how many times have you not been sitting there and somebody is passing? The person has even come to pay tithes. The person has not done anything to you. Just because the person is dressed nicer than you, you are even wishing in your head that the person will trip and fall. Oh, tell me I'm lying. Yeah. Sometimes the person is just personal and you're like, hey, what is she showing? She has not said anything and she has not. And you want to say you are not a sinner. Oh. every time we are preaching and we say, oh, those who are addicted to fornication and masturbation, then you will now cross your leg and you're like, oh, me there, this one is not my problem. It's not your problem. How many girls have you not undressed with your eyes as they are passing in? How many girls? You have a mental picture of how all the choristers look naked. You alone in the church. Are you not a sinner? Hey, Akwale, come for the mic and let me sit down. I'm done. Hey! No, I am just showing you your sin. You see, last week, E.S. Joy sent me a video. And the video was like, oh, you know, like when God has worked on you and it's changed, the Holy Spirit is changing you, but your face still needs working on. When I saw it, I knew she was tricking me. Yeah. Because it's like, Charlie, hey, the sin, we are all inside. All of us are sinners saved by grace. It's true that your hands don't easily go down there, but your thoughts, the way you think, yeah. Your hands may not be going here, but your hands have been going here. So don't feel so, oh. Hey. Oh, I'm not in present service. I'm in word encounter. Let me be sober. I beg you, let me be sober. Let me be sober. Oh, I hear this church, you are not into sin. Is there other service that you are into sin? Oh, I hear this service, you are not sinners. Is there other service that... Oh. Oh, the way you are correct, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Sinners saved by grace. Your thoughts alone. Yeah. And yet Jesus paid with his precious blood. So you need to understand the miracle of your salvation so that you will value it. And when you learn to value your salvation, then you can now believe God to give you the other miracles that you have been expecting. Until that happens, you will be sitting exactly where you are sitting. Because if he gives you the greatest miracle and you do not value it, nothing else will come. You want a car, your salvation is more precious than a car. You want a house, your salvation is more precious than a house. And you need to understand that. Please, Hebrews. I have to be sober, so let me hold my book and preach. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How can you escape? If you neglect this greatest miracle of salvation, you will not have any excuse. If you were in a different church, angels on horseback, then you will be able to escape. But this, our church, that we are all where we have screamed the salvation, we have boiled it, we have fried it, you cannot escape. You cannot escape. Hello? So why is salvation the greatest miracle? The way you are eyeing me, I'm finishing. I'll tell mommy that you were not smiling. So. Mommy, can you hear? They are not smiling. They are eyeing me. Salvation is the greatest miracle because you have been released from prison. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. You have been released from prison. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to who? The captives. To preach deliverance to the captives. Until you gave your life to Jesus, you were a prisoner to the enemy. You were a prisoner to your sins. You were a prisoner to the devil. You see, there are only two fathers in this life. God the Father and Opana the Father. And until you give your... You know who Opana is? Who is Opana?
Satan.
Before you go and say that, oh, I called you children of the devil, please, John 1:12. I don't want trouble. This one is slow speed. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you believe in Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. You become a son of who? Oh, you are not saying it well. You believe in Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. You become a son of who? You do not believe in Jesus. You do not give your life to Jesus. You are a son of who? Whether you call him Opana, you call him Satan, it's the devil. So your life was being directed and controlled by the devil. And yet, Jesus came and extracted you from the hands of the devil. The devil who was controlling your life. I beg you, if you are here and you are not born again, it means that you are still a child of Opana. Keep that scripture there before you say, I have come to say something that's not true. Yeah. You give your life to Jesus, you are a child of God. You do not give your life to Jesus, Oya, you know who your father is. No, 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 no. You can't change the word of God. So I'm stressing on it so that, you see, coming to church does not make you a child of God. Go and put yourself in a garage and lock it and stay there for 3 months. You will not become a car. So staying in a garage for 3 months will not make you into a car. So coming to church every Sunday does not automatically turn you into a child of God. You only become a child of God when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess him with your mouth and you receive salvation. That is the only point at which you are now a child of the living God. Until then, God is not your father. So coming to church every Sunday will not make you a child of God. It's as simple as that. Hello? Yeah. But if you are born again, understand that until you receive salvation, you were a prisoner. Yeah. But as soon as you receive salvation, deliverance to the captive, God delivered you from captivity. Many of you were held captive by all kinds of sins. How many times did you not wake up crying because you have done it again? I just said it. Where are the English people in? It is what? It's a pronoun. Yes. Awo is the one teaching me English this hour. Awo says it is a pronoun, and I'm just saying, how many times did you not wake up feeling bad because like you've done it again? You know what it is, put in there, yeah. And you just couldn't help yourself again, yeah, yeah. It's like that's it. I will never drink again, yeah. You will be dead, then you'll be receiving mass SMS from the seller of the drink because you were her top customer. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Mercy. Yeah. You will swear that you are not going to that site again. Oh, it could be a construction site. It could be what? A fishing site. It could be a galamsey site. Hey, I just said site. A site, not site. Hey, so why are you eyeing me this afternoon? Maybe construction site, who knows? Maybe you are into building. Amen. Yeah. You were into press conferences. Captive to all kinds of sins. Your mind was so warped. It's like your thoughts were very weird. Hello? Yeah. Very, very weird. Yeah. And it's like even when you are shaking your head, the thoughts are passing through you. And you realize that it's like if you had your way, you wouldn't be doing all that. But you see that you keep going back. You keep doing over and over and over. Until you gave your life to Jesus. Today, look at us. Very polished. Yeah. But our before. And many of you need to learn to come and testify of what used to hold you captive. And there was silence in the church. The fact that we don't know does not mean that we are deceived into thinking that you've always been correct. Come and testify. A testimony is not only about how you got an increase in your CWA. A testimony is not only about how you were healed. Your salvation story is the greatest testimony you can ever give. Come and stand here and testify about how you were held captive to pornography and then you found salvation and you have been set free. See how you've done your faces. You're like, hey, Lady Reverend, this testimony is between me and God. You and who? When you get 125 CDs, Momo, you come and testify. 125 kind of miracle money. Some of you, 75 cities, you'll be shouting, my testimony is about. Meanwhile, your greatest testimony is not that miracle money. Your greatest testimony is where God delivered you from. Oh. Where? Which prison God took you from? You were a prisoner. But for the blood of Jesus, but for the blood, you will have stayed in that prison, a prisoner to your sins, a prisoner to your funny mind, a prisoner to your old ways, but for salvation, but for the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Many of you, before God found you, on a Sunday morning at 12:15, you will open your eyes and you will be wondering how you got to that bed. Okay, I didn't say that. Let me give another stand. Hello. And some of you, this story is not so long ago. But today, look at you, 12:15, we are in church. Look at him. Not long ago, 12:15, you will be swaying. Yeah. It's like because you are under the influence of something else. Yeah. Oh. But today, look at you. You are sitting down sober. You are not swaying. You are not under the influence of anything negative. And you do not understand that that is the greatest miracle. How can we miss it? How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How? Look at you. Many of you, not long ago, you were a breaker of hearts. Oh, here they don't break hearts. Okay, let me find a different window. Mm. But now look at you. You are here saying what? You are a shepherd. You are mending people's hearts. Hello. The way you are looking at me, let me do this and preach. Salvation is the greatest miracle, because when you are saved, you have the light of God shining into your darkness. You have the light of God shining into your darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. It is a good place to put your hands together for them. When there is darkness, you can easily mess up. You have no sense of direction. You have no sense of purpose. That is why when they take ECG takes the light, it's almost like something is doing you. Yeah. When there is darkness, you can't see anything. It means that you can easily fall into all kinds of temptations. Yeah. You don't even know where you are heading to. When there is no light, you are like a blind man who is trying to walk. Azombo, please come. Please go to the end. I beg you, I beg you, with all due respect, no shouting, no talking, be quiet. Close your eyes and walk from end to end. No shouting. I said no shouting. I said no talking. It's okay. You see how you were holding your heart? You're afraid that he will fall. He almost hit that pillar there. This is your life without salvation. Total darkness. No sense of direction. No idea as to where you are going. You can easily fall and hurt yourself. You can easily fall and break your legs. You can easily fall and break your spine, and you will be paralyzed for the rest of your life. Without salvation, this is your life. But your life is not like that, because the blood of Jesus was shed for you to receive salvation. And as soon as you gave your life to Jesus, your life, which was filled with darkness, suddenly received light. So now you can see, you know where to go and where not to go. This would have been you without salvation. Yeah. If I had allowed him to continue, you know what would have happened? Yeah. We have fallen, yes. I should have even allowed you to go as on. Thank you, please. Are you with me? Yeah. Is salvation not the greatest miracle? Look at you. Today you are not living like this because you are saved. Yeah. How can you downplay this miracle and rather be waiting for the miracle that, oh, you are going to Maldives and coming back? How? Hello? Yeah. When there is no light, you are like a blind man trying to walk. Yeah. I used to work in a certain village. And usually the villagers will always come with two main problems. You know, interior villages where they don't have light or anything. Yeah. You'll be there in the middle of the night. They will be rushing somebody to the hospital, usually with two problems. Do you want to know what the problem? Oh, are you sure you want to know? Snake bite or scorpion bite. Yeah. And when you look at the time of the night, you'll be asking, but where were you? Do you know what they often say? We were in our rooms. Yeah, you live where there is light. Have you ever been bitten by a scorpion in your room? Why? How many of you have had snakes visiting you in your room? Or scorpion? Oh, me, my house, snakes come, but not in the bedroom. Yeah, so my sons have become killers of snakes. Yeah, they are found. My husband had to train them. One day he asked them, so if you won't learn to kill, who do you want to kill the snake, your mother? So yeah, so we have a big stick in our house at different corners. Yeah, oh, we live in the village. Yeah, so they are, vipers. Where's Reverend Hope? I sent him picture. Vipers, yeah. One day, one bit a frog. Before we could turn, the frog was highly poisonous. Yeah, so sometimes you be in my house and you hear, boom, boom. When you come out, one boy is killing a snake. But you see, imagine we were living in darkness. We were, so my house, all of us, we have Wellington boots. Eh? All five of us, we have five Wellington. Wow. What, you don't believe it? Yeah, and the scorpions in our village, they are like my palm, very big and black. Oh, I'll start showing you pictures. Yeah. But the reason why we've not been bitten, two, one is the protection of God. The other one is because we have light. So we see them before we step on them. But imagine we were living in a place that they didn't have light. Like every day, lady, a snake has bitten her. Oh, my scorpion has bitten. Yes, but you, by the grace of God, you've never had that. So without light, you are exposed to all kinds of darkness. So if you are here and you are not born again, I beg you, this is your story. Shall we share the grace? The reason why your life is filled with one trouble after the other, if you check your salvation level. Hello? Yeah. And if you are saved, understand that the reason why your life is different is because of the precious blood of Jesus. Now there is light in your life. So no more darkness. You can see clearly and you can take proper decisions. Have you not been amazed to find girls who didn't have the ability to say no to any boy who comes? And you think you are any different? The only difference between you and that girl is salvation. Oh, you, it's not like they don't come over. It's like, oh, you can say no. Even though sometimes as you are saying the no, you don't mean it. Oh, no, no. But at least more, you are able to say, yeah. Hello? Yeah. Recently, one of our people, her age is there, then she texted her. She's like, Charlie, I mean, she's not our people. We've been chasing her to come, but she has not yet come. Like Baeja, she texts her, oh, she's pregnant, 20 years. She's in school here. And the person, Abawa, is like, oh, she can't say no. Once the person is a man with something in between the two legs, she can't say no. Unless there's nothing in between the two legs. But once there is something in between the, she can't say no. I didn't say any, she cannot say no. But you, by the grace of God, this used to be your story. The fact that you've not yet given your testimony doesn't know that we don't suspect or we don't. Let me remove my glasses so that I'll not be seeing well before somebody will be. Hello. Hey, I'm not. I'm done. Sorry. Uh-huh. Romans 7:4. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. Who has been raised from the dead? Jesus. Oh, now what has happened? Even to him who is raised, every service has his own. First secret is siang. When encounter is knee. Presence is who? I know. Every service. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Salvation is the greatest miracle, because it is a miracle for you to know Jesus. It is a miracle for you to know Jesus. Many of you here, from the day you met the assemblyman in your village, we've not had peace. Just assemblyman. Yeah. From the day you got to know the SRC president and you took a picture with him, we've not had peace. Hello. From the day you got to meet your MP, we've not had, and it's not like you even met him. He was passing and he waved at you. You are more fascinated with knowing people who are considered important according to the standards of the world. And yet, because of the blood of Jesus, because of salvation, you know Jesus. You can say you are a friend of Jesus. You can say you are a child of the living God. You see, you are not even clapping. It is a sign that you do not value. Yeah. Jesus, who is the maker of the heaven and the earth. Jesus, who knows the end of a thing from the beginning. Jesus, who when he says yes, nothing else and nobody else can say. Jesus, who has the power to turn the heart of a king towards you. And he has saved you. And you know him. And you do not understand that that is the greatest miracle. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. People are paying money to know big men. But you see, those big men, if Jesus should just snap his fingers like that, that would be the end. Yeah. But you know the one who created heaven and earth. Hey, you should be walking with your chest out. You should be walking with your shoulders high. You should change your walking from today. Learn to practice to walk as somebody, like somebody who knows Jesus. Yeah. Don't be walking on your stomach. Because, yeah. Walk, yeah. Yeah. Change your walking. Why? Because you have received the greatest miracle. You know Jesus. Yeah. You know Jesus. You know Jesus. Yeah, people are always looking for connections so that they will know somebody. You have Jesus. That's the only connection you need. Who do you know? Which big person do you know? You know Jesus. One day my husband asked me, he said, oh, I should give him the name of one big person from my school. I said, it's me. I said, I am the one. Then he said, look. Okay, no big person came from my school. Yeah. I said, it's me. Am I not a big person? Yeah. Oh, he there, his school, this person, my school, me. Yeah. But life is like that. We are more interested in knowing big men. But you know the Son of God. You know God himself. You know the King of Kings. You know the great I am. You know the creator of the heavens and the earth. It is a good place for you to put your hands together, because you know the most important person on earth and beyond the earth. Your salvation is the greatest miracle. If you are born again, don't take it for granted. Begin to value it and live your life like that. And if you are here and you are not born again, understand that you are not a child of God. We know who your father is. Just a fine protocol because we can't say it. But you now you know. He's called Opana. Yeah. And that's why you can't live here without giving your life to Jesus if you are not born again. You must make a decision that you also want to become a child of the living God. And you want to experience a life that is filled with the light of God so that you will have a sense of purpose. You will have a sense of direction. Why? Because the light of Jesus is now shining into your life. You can see, you can understand, you can discern, and you can live a proper life. And you know, Jesus, you are sorted. Put your hands together and stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Just close your eyes and begin to think about your life. Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you experienced this greatest miracle that we are talking about this afternoon? Think about it for the next 1 minute. Have you received this greatest miracle of salvation? Don't let the sacrifice of Jesus go to waste. Don't let the sacrifice of Jesus go to waste. He paid for you with his precious blood. And you need to accept that sacrifice this afternoon. How do you accept it? Believe. Believe in him. Believe in your heart. Believe. And after believing, you confess it with your mouth. And it is the most important decision of your life. Why? Because it is a decision that will bring you into contact with the greatest of all miracles. Think about it for the next 1 minute. Think about it for the next one. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you are here and you are not born again. Understand that coming to church all the time does not give you salvation. You only receive salvation when you believe in the Lord Jesus and you confess him and receive him with your confess with your mouth and receive him into your heart. That's the only way to become a child of the living God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name. You are here this afternoon and you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to become a child of the living God. You want to receive the greatest gift of salvation. If this is you, just give me a wave of your right hand and we will pray together. Don't leave here the way you came. If you came not knowing who your father is, understand that there is grace in the house this afternoon for you to become a child of the living God. You want to give your life to Jesus? Please give me a wave of your right hand and we will pray together. Don't leave here without being sure as to whether God is your father. I can see your hands. God bless you. If your hand is lifted up, please take a bold step and come towards me. Yes, my brother, my sister, I can see your hands. Please come. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about who brought you to church. This is an individual decision. You're about to receive the greatest miracle. Please come forward and we will pray together. This is not the time to be shy of Jesus. If you are ashamed of him at this moment, he says that on the day of judgment, he will also be ashamed of you. Don't be shy of coming forward to accept him as your Lord and personal Savior. Don't be. Come and let us pray. Brothers, please lift up your voices and say this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for today. Thank you for this greatest miracle, the miracle of salvation. Today, I receive you into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. From today, I am born again. I am a child of the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.